You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretzky. Welcome to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. It's the countdown to Super Bowl 52 is on. And then there were two. The New England Patriots. Not a surprise that the New England Patriots are representing the AFC. And if you hit rewind and we go back in time, if you recall, before the year started, I told you the New England Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to pat myself on the back for that one, although I just should have bet it. shouldn't we have all just bet it? Like, the Patriots get to the Super Bowl every year, and everyone, oh, yeah, well, we knew they were going to make this. Well, why don't we bet it? just bet it. Bet them to win the AFC every year. They win the AFC every damn year. They don't win the Super Bowl every year, but they're racking up Super Bowl wins, aren't they? But if you remember, I told you, we're in an era of rematches right now, and I thought it was going to be a rematch between the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots, or I thought Seattle. I didn't think Philadelphia, but we do have a rematch of a Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots play again. And I'm going to admit, actually, I hate Roman numerals, man. Like, some of them are easy to figure out. Like, I'm staring at this, like, Patriot and Eagles Super Bowl. And I'm like, what damn Super Bowl was this? I'm like, V times 5 minus 1. Super Bowl 39. Super Bowl 39. Pretty crazy, man. We've been around a while because I remember we did a road rage for that Super Bowl. Nobody showed up. Everybody hates the Patriots. Even back then, nobody showed up besides Clam Chowder. I nearly got killed by a biker after the game. It was at that place. It's not like that hockey rink, the practice rink in Montreal where the Canadians used to practice. St. Bonaventure, Bonaventure Ice, Cat Glass, something like that. I don't know. You know what? I remember the game because I remember I had the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles covered the point spread. So they didn't win the game, but they covered the point spread. Remember Donovan McNabb puked on the field. Literally threw up like in the huddle with like 2 minutes left in the game. That's all everybody remembers about that Super Bowl. I remember they didn't throw to Terrell Owens enough. And I remember T.O. was coming off a broken leg and he was open on every damn play. So, and then there were two. Listen, I thought props to the Philadelphia Eagles. Getting it done. They took advantage of their home field, man. And now it's 9 in a row. 9 straight times a team has won on their home field as a one seed. We try to get cute and, this and that. And, generally, the one seeds are going to the Super Bowl. So we're going to be breaking it down. We'll crunch some Super Bowl numbers with Steve Merrill. No props out yet. I'm curious to see the first props. Although, for the most part, I could probably tell you pretty much every damn prop. Tom Brady's going to be 24.5 over under passes. You go down the list. Now, the question is, what about Rob Gronkowski? So, Steve Merrill's going to join us. We'll kick the tires on Super Bowl 52. Chris Meaney will join us in studio. And I'm sure Meaney, like Eagle fans, getting cocky right now. Eagle fans getting – I saw a great tweet, actually, this morning. It said, the only thing in the world that can make people root for the Patriots – Eagle fan. Let's be real. And it's interesting because I actually know quite a lot of Eagle fans. And, good guys. Not extra jerks, sort of like Patriot fans. Reed is a Patriot fan here at the network. Reed's a good guy. I still don't understand why he's a Patriot fan, but he's a good guy nevertheless. But let's be real here. We got Philadelphia and Boston. Not exactly the most lovable cities in America. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, real underdogs. Philadelphia is just so freaking obnoxious and stupid. That's the thing. I mean, look at these guys. They're fighting with each other. They're burning the city down. You didn't even win anything yet. I guess you won the NFC Conference Championship, but I don't know. I'm a Bills fan, and even we didn't celebrate that. It's actually like a stigma if you lose. And let's be real. What's going to happen in the Super Bowl? The Patriots will win. The Eagles will cover. That's what'll happen because that's what happens in every damn Patriots Super Bowl. So yeah, Chris Meaney will join us. Nice guy, Chris Meaney. We'll see where he's at. At least Meaney doesn't have a busted face and he didn't climb like Crisco lace poles last night. Chris Meaney will join us in studio. He's an Eagle fan. We'll talk a little football, but we'll talk NHL hockey. Listen, it's all good, but we got to make money today, right? So we got NHL hockey on the board. We got NBA basketball on tap this evening. We move forward, but not without taking a step back in time and sharing with you who ruined your Sunday. Well, I can tell you who ruined my Sunday. Me. I ruined my Sunday with my crap-ass picks. When we zigged, we should have zagged. When we zagged, we should have zigged. You know, I had the over, the Patriot and the Jag game, and I had the under, the Viking and the Eagle game. How did that work out? Not very well. Not very well at all. Kind of like, Bubble Boy. How you doing over there? Not too good, are you? Mopes. They were all Twix. Yeah, it's one of those weekends. So listen, the Patriots win. Of course they win. They always win. But of course they didn't cover, and of course they didn't cover, because the Patriots are 10-1 in their last 11 football games against the spread, and then of course I take them and they don't cover. Like, I don't know if I can hate this team any more than I possibly do. And hate is a strong word, but I hate them. Like really, it's just, they're so freaking annoying, man. I feel like Krusty the Clown. Just take the ball. Just take it. Just take it. He's spinning it on his hands. And as far as the refs, I mean, the refs are more credible in a Harlem Globetrotter game than they are in a New England Patriot game. I hope number 34 gets a playoff bonus because, he was as happy as anybody else was. How about the head ref running over and who was it, Cleet? Heading over and celebrating. Hey, guys, great. It's an honor to be here with the Patriots. So, I know the Patriots are good, but you're telling me that they were perfect yesterday? Now, they did have one penalty called on a kickoff, holding 10 yards. Jacksonville had 6 penalties for 98 yards. You had the Miles Jack screw job. The Jalen Ramsey, the fumble. You can go down the list. Just phantom penalties, garbage calls, refs celebrating with the Patriots. It's actually pathetic. It's pathetic. Like, I haven't seen, look how happy the ref is. I haven't seen such pathetic and rigged officiating since the Montreal screw job. All right, Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. Who was it, Earl Hebner? Earl Hebner. I was there that night. I was there in person, and it was a screw job. That's what it was. This is the Boston Massacre, the Foxborough F job. That's what that was. Listen, New England won the game. It is what it is. They deserved it. Jacksonville, we're going to find a way to screw it up like they did. They got a little bit too conservative, but it's pretty hard to win if you're playing against the referees as well. The league, we all knew this, though. We knew that the league couldn't have the Jacksonville Jaguars in the Super Bowl, and they made damn sure of it. They made damn sure of it. So bravo. Bravo to the lying, cheating, sleazy-ass, scumbag New England Patriots. Congratulations. God, they're annoying. Tom Brady yelling at the camera, "Get out of my effing way, man." Shut up, Brady. God, it'll be pleasurable when their little reign of terror is over. 2 more years. We got to put up with it this year. They're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to take the Eagles plus the 5, but they're going to win the damn Super Bowl. But you know what? The New England Patriots ruined my freaking Sunday, man. You win, you don't cover. The game stays under the number, but that was just the appetizer. The real rim job was set to come. It's the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings. Skull. 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 Yeah. You know what? You guys are like skull chewing tobacco. You got chewed on and spit out. That's what happened to you. I don't even know what skull means. You know what skull means? I guess like in the old days, the Vikings used to chop their enemies' heads off, and then they'd chop off the top of their skulls, and then they would drink booze from their from the people they killed from their skull. That's skull. Well, you got scolded, son. You got scolded, man. As you know, I haven't seen someone choke like that since George Costanza couldn't come up with an excuse to get out of the dinner with Peterman. I reached down there, Jerry, there was nothing there. I choked. The Minnesota Vikings reached down, and there was nothing there. They choked. The body language. That's a picture of me. That's what I look like, Case Keenum there. That was me yesterday. Oh, dear God. You're the leader of the team. Like, everyone on the Vikings is like, yeah, we're screwed. You're going to see. They're screwed. Like, the Minnesota Golden Gophers would have put up a better fight than you son of a bitches yesterday. Hey, listen, I love Mike Zimmer, but Mike Zimmer got out-coached, man. Mike Zimmer got out-coached. Zimmer said after the game, well, you know, what happened? He's kind of dumbfounded. He said, well, it was pretty simple. They all played us. Yeah, they all played you. Yeah, but you also got out-coached. You got out-schemed. You know, Frank Reich did a hell of a job. How about Nick Foles? Nick Foles, one of only two quarterbacks in NFL history to throw 75%, complete 75% of their passes in two playoff games. Going into the Super Bowl, the other one, Joe Montana. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Oh, Joe Montana. Pretty much like the only bad thing that happened to any Eagle fan yesterday was the dude that that ran into the pole. the dude that ran into the pole. And he ran into the pole pretty hard here. At least, actually, he was a happy Eagle fan. We had a lot of jackass Eagle fans throwing stuff at Viking fans, Eagle fans fighting with each other. So the guy that, you know, runs into the pole, you know what, he'll feel it. He's feeling it today, but he's happy his team is going to the Super Bowl nevertheless. But, you know, the Minnesota Vikings, they haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1977. This is the sixth time, guys, since 1977 that they've been back to the NFC Conference Championship game. And it's the same crap every damn time. We should have known better. I can accept that the Minnesota Vikings lost. I can't accept that it's just that they quit. They rolled over. A team with as much heart as the Minnesota Vikings showed absolutely none whatsoever yesterday. And I swear to God, and I mean this, and I know I've said this before about, you know, I'm never betting on the Bengals and stuff, but I mean, I'm never betting on a NFL under ever again. All right? I don't give a crap if they set a total of 138. I'm not betting the under. All right? I would rather watch, like, nude male figure skaters practice for their Olympic routines, all right, than I would, like, bet on an under. When do the Olympics start anyways? Bring on a whole new list of screw job sports that we could lose money on. You know, actually, I got a head start on that. I bet on some women's alpine the other night. Lara Gutt took her plus 500 to finish on a podium. She missed by like a hundredth point of a millisecond or something like that, which I guess is kind of close. But in skiing, doesn't everyone sort of miss by a freaking tenth of a millisecond? The Minnesota Vikings ruined my Sunday. And you want to listen, you know, you want to add it on here too at the end? You know, I wasn't too happy, man, all right, at the end of this. I was just upset about the way everything went. The game stayed under earlier in the day, goes over, whatever. It's just one of those days, one of those weekends, one of those years, one of those lives. You know, so it's one of those deals where Sunday night last night, I was like, man, this really freaking blows. But my mother lives on the West Coast. So, you know, it was 3 hours back. I figured, you know what, it'd be a good time to call my mother and talk to her about mother and son things. Just, you know, casual Sunday night banter. You know, I don't call her enough. I figured, oh, I'll call her right now. First thing she says to me is, oh, that's really too bad about your Minnesota Vikings. And I'm like, well, no, it's all right, Mom. I'm not a Viking fan. But she's like, yeah, I know. But I know you kept telling people on your shows all the time that they were going to win. And, you know, now people are going to rip you and stuff and say your pick was bad, you know. And then she's like, but don't worry. I'm sure you'll get a pick right soon. And I'm thinking, I'm calling my mother here. Hey, Mom. I'm like, yeah, I go, it comes with the territory, Mom. It's all right. And I'm thinking, it's not making this better. And she doesn't let it go. Oh, boy, did they ever really play bad. I saw the end of the game. And aren't they supposed to be good? And aren't they better than that usually? I'm like, yes, Mom, the Minnesota Vikings are better than that usually. It was me. I was like, listen, let's just move on here. I was like, how's Alexa doing that I bought you? She couldn't let the Vikings go. But for the record, my mom did tell me she hopes that Tom Brady loses in the Super Bowl. My mom hates Tom Brady. Not even a football fan. She hates Tom Brady. See, it runs in the family, evidently. So when it was all said and done, who ruined my Sunday? I don't know. Me, my mother, Tom Brady, the Jags, the Patriots, the NFL. society. Everyone! Everybody ruined my Sunday. Screw Skol. Screw Tom Brady. Screw the NFL referees. And screw you, who ruined your Sunday. I did. Game Time Decision continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Chris Meany, a Philadelphia Eagle fan, will join us. So we get to relive yesterday over and over again. But at least, you know, at least we're not Viking fans and we're not in Minneapolis. Just think about it. You know, your team loses, you know, verge to go to the Super Bowl, especially for the Vikings. They haven't been to a Super Bowl since 77. They've now choked six times in a conference championship game. We all know what it's like. You know, listen, you know, I'm a Bills fan or whatever team you're a fan of. If they've gone far and then they lose, you get that. It's a letdown in the city the next day. Everyone's kind of depressed for a couple of days. Except it's even worse if you're in Minneapolis. Now you got to have these jackass Eagle fans rolling in the town. You got to put up with football in your backyard. Your city's going to become a police state. You know, a casual dude that steps outside, you know, for a smoke's going to have Secret Service on him. Hey, you can't stand here. Like, you're going to look up, there's snipers on, like, you know, snipers on every rooftop and stuff. Super Bowl's taking over your city. It's not a good time. And Minneapolis is kind of small, too. So it's really just going to, like, basically, like, they're going to have to relive this crap for the next 2 weeks in Minneapolis. Kind of sucks for them. And to be honest, it'll be interesting to see Eagle fans that go there that being the big jackals and tough guys that they were when there was like 80,000 of them together. It's going to be funny now that they're in Minnesota. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a couple of beer bottles and cans and punches in the back of the head. Well, they're in Minneapolis. They'll return the favor. But people in Minneapolis are nicer than people from Philadelphia. They just are. All right. It's, you know, listen, I took a bus ride across America. All right. I started out in Texas. And I went all the way to, like, New York, to Montreal, like, so from one end to the other, all right? And basically, each state that you get closer to the east, people become more prickish and miserable. Like, you can tell. It's like, oh, yeah, all right, now we're in Atlanta now. It's starting to sort of get a little, you know, people are getting ruder. You get to Washington, D.C., it's like, oh, yeah, we're close. We're close. And then finally, boom, you arrive in New York, and it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. But you just, you know, the decline of politeness and niceties goes right down the tubes. Steve Merrill joins us from Virginia. Virginia's for lovers, so everyone's nice there. Right, Steve?
East Coast. Screw you, Morenci. I'd say Northeast. South is pretty nice. Actually, the South is pretty laid back, the Southeast. But, yeah, well, you get up Northeast is rough.
Northeast, yeah. People are I'm in the Northeast.
Yeah, but that's Canada, though. See, I was just going to say, when you said Minneapolis is nice, I was going to say, you know, it must be something about the extreme cold weather, because Canadians are very nice as well. But then again, Northeast of America is cold, and that's the exact opposite. So
Canadians,
might not work.
Canadians are not nice, Steve.
They're nice to me. My nicest clients are Canadians. But then again, I'm comparing that to Northeasterners, I guess, who aren't. So
you're saying you get told to F off less from Canadians than you do from people on the Northeast?
I'm not sure I've ever had a Canadian that was real. I'm being dead serious. I'm not playing around.
So you haven't had, like, an angry Canadian, oh, you suck, I regret doing this or whatever, but, you know, you from the Northeast, you've gotten a few.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's been a couple. Maybe I didn't know they're Canadian, but yeah, I'm being dead serious. Like, some of my nicest clients over the last 20 years have always been Canadians. I've always been very impressed by that.
You know, Canadians, Canadians are polite, but they're not nice. It's a strange.
Okay, polite. Maybe that's the term I'm looking for.
Yeah. But you know
they're,
what?
They're cordial.
You know, they are cordial. But yeah, it's an interesting. I think Americans are actually friendlier than Canadians. Americans are. You know, like Canadians don't talk to each other, Steve. Like, strangers don't talk to each other here. Like, everyone's very uptight, and, you know, it's very sort of, you know, conservative, you know? People don't talk to each other. Like, if you get on a bus here, you get on a subway, it's very quiet. you take a bus in Las Vegas, man. Strangers are like, hey, why don't you come over to my house for dinner? Here's my address. There was a girl on a bus. Like, she's like, oh, I live at Paradise Gardens right on this corner. Like, you know what I mean? Like, out loud. People, you know, I'm sitting next to a dude. He's talking about his surgery and his cancer on a bus. Like, it's just different. Like, Americans are more outgoing than Canadians are. But Canadians are polite. I'll give them that. But they're not nice. It's a pile of crap, but I'm Canadian. I say it. Canadians are not nice. They're actually jerks. All right. But let's jump in here. Speaking of jerks, Eagle fans. This is great. Real class acts yesterday, Steve, these guys. Real pieces of work. They start winning it. They were beating each other up in the parking lot before the game.
Yeah, can you imagine if they had the home game for the Super Bowl? That would be something. And I'll tell you what, the conspiracy theory was looking in full effect when Jacksonville didn't win. And once that happened, that was good news for the Eagles because they got permission to go and win the game, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I said all along that I don't think the league really cared whether it was Minnesota or Philadelphia, but Jacksonville got screwed over yesterday, Steve. I'm not going to – whatever. No excuse. They lost the game. They got conservative, and they lost the game. But it was blatant. Like, it's just it was like WWE stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he had a wide-open touchdown. I mean, I'm almost starting to think that Blake Bortles got the memo that if you want to play another 15 years in the league, you don't win this game because he could have won that game, I thought, in the fourth quarter. He had several opportunities that he did not take advantage of.
Well, it's hard to take advantage of it if you're playing against 17 people.
That's true, but he had that one guy open on that third or fourth when they were getting near the 10-yard line that one time. That was their chance to win. It's amazing, though, if you look at the in-game mathematical, the true math odds, they had a 93% chance of winning when they were up 20-10 early fourth quarter, and they had an 85% chance at the end of the third quarter to win that game, and they still found a way to lose.
Every damn Patriot game in the playoffs is the same thing for the most part, or at least we should say Super Bowls, which we'll get into here. They win by four. You know, they always win by three. They win by four. They win, but they don't cover the number. Underdogs continue to dominate in the playoffs. Listen, the Jags lost, but they cover the number. Vikings lose as favorites, so Eagles win outright as underdogs. They pretty much, with the exception of the Patriots beating the Titans, you could argue that the underdog covered in every game if you had the 5.5 in that Viking game, in that Viking Saint game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's no question Philadelphia, in hindsight, should not have been home dogs in either game. But the whole thing there was Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz, and Foles actually played better than Wentz could have possibly played. I mean, he almost had a perfect quarterback rating yesterday against the best pass defense in the NFC. I think the big question for the Super Bowl is, you know, will Foles play that well again? My gut tells me it's not a good situation for him, you know, against Tom Brady, Super Bowl, neutral field. It's a different atmosphere than playing two home games. But the Patriots' defense is not as good as Minnesota's and probably is not as good as Atlanta's, so he could capably do it again.
The Eagles are a good football team. It's not just the quarterback position. But, listen, at this point, I'm not going to worry about Nick Foles. I mean, does any team have a quarterback advantage against the Patriots in the Super Bowl? No, right? You're going against Tom Brady. And Nick Foles joins one of only two guys, Steve. He's completed 75% or more of his passes in two playoff games now, okay? The only other quarterback in NFL history to do that, Joe Montana. I mean, he's a streaky quarterback, Foles. And, you know, he's a West Coast-style quarterback, West Coast offense-style quarterback, but we saw, you know, when he's comfortable and he has time, you know, he was throwing bombs, he's putting the ball right where it needs to be. The Eagles are going to be able to run the football on the Patriots. I think it'll be a close game. Now, Steve, look, this is Tom Brady's eighth Super Bowl, and seven of them, it's deceptive as well. They've won out of the seven Super Bowls, out of their five Super Bowls, three of them were by 3 points exact. The other one was by 4 points, and then last year by 6 points. But it's kind of deceptive, Steve. They win by 6 points in overtime. They came back, they win by six in overtime. The game against Seattle, they won by four because Seattle obviously needed a touchdown. They couldn't kick a field goal late. They won by four. All the other games were by three. Exactly, or they lost the games to the Giants, etc. So the spread is five right now, Steve. So my point is that the Patriots have only won one Super Bowl by more than 5 points, and that was last year in overtime.
Yeah, almost throughout the history of the Super Bowl, over 50 years now, basically the team that wins covers almost every time. In fact, if you throw out all those recent Patriots Super Bowls, it's probably like 90% of the time the spread doesn't matter.
The Patriots are the team that brings that stat down.
Yeah, but the problem is about 90% of the time it does matter, like you said with the Patriots game. So it's an interesting angle. And, of course, one thing we always talk about is how the money line is not as high as it normally should be for a regular season game because the public, although they play favorites normally, they like to take the plus money straight up on the underdog. And we're already seeing that in this game. Spread is pretty much 5.5 right now. New England's about minus 220. The Eagles are like plus 190 or so. And that's a little lower than it would be for a 5.5-point spread. But if you look at the real public square books out there, the Eagles are plus 170. New England's minus 200, where they're minus 220 at all the regular sharper books. So you can already see that the public books are lowering that money line already because they know the public's going to take the plus money with the Eagles.
I'm looking forward to the props coming out. Should be in the next 24 to 48 hours or so. At least a couple of offshore books will start to release them. I'm interested to see the MVP props, as you mentioned. So if the Patriots are in the 220 to 230 range on a money line, I'm curious to see what they make Tom Brady to be the MVP of the Super Bowl at. Will it be minus 200? Will it be minus 150? Historically, Steve, we get a lower price on the MVP price than we do on the money line in a game. And, of course, we talk about it every year. Eight of the last – so it's now – I went back the last 10, 11 years, actually – So eight of the last 11 Super Bowl MVPs have been a quarterback from the winning team. With the exception, there's very few exceptions. I mean, look, Von Miller was the MVP 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, 2 years ago, because nothing happened in that football game, right? No, really, nothing happened. You know, the Broncos won with like 200 yards of offense, and Von Miller had a few sacks, so he's the MVP. But there'll be some action in this game. There'll be some points put up on the board. And it'll be curious to see what Nick Foles is to be the MVP, Steve.
Yeah, and obviously if Foles plays anywhere close like he did in these last two games, he'll easily be the MVP. I mean, he played better than Tom Brady did so far in the playoffs. But you could see a situation where the Eagles are able to win without him playing great because they're the better defensive team, probably the better running team overall. And you could see them, and if it is a low-scoring game, that probably favors the Eagles. Once again, it's very hard to see New England winning where Tom Brady doesn't play well. And they spread it around so well also, especially if Gronkowski doesn't play. It's very difficult to see Brady not winning. And plus, New England's a very mediocre defensive team. They don't allow a lot of points, but the yardage-wise, they're very mediocre. Other than maybe like Gronkowski having a big game, if he comes back from concussion and, you know, gets a lot of hype because then catches two or three touchdowns, it'd be pretty tough not to see Brady winning if the Patriots win.
Well, we'll see as far as Gronk is concerned. Normally, the game would be off the board because of an injury like Gronk. But if it was a regular season game right now, it would be off the board. But obviously, they got to put something up there, it being the Super Bowl. So if Gronk gets locked in, the spread could creep back up there a little bit. But I enjoyed seeing Gronk get knocked out of the game and hurt, actually. As a Buffalo Bill fan, it was karma for Trey White. And, hey, if he can't play in the Super Bowl, tough. All right, so as far as tonight, we look at a couple of minutes left here, Steve. College basketball, North Carolina and Virginia Tech. It's down right now to 3.5, this number. You know, North Carolina's starting to play better basketball right now. They stumbled earlier, but they're starting to put it together right now, the Tar Heels.
Yeah, and the key for North Carolina, obviously, they like to play fast. You know, they lost a game at Virginia a few weeks ago. Virginia's a great slowdown team. Virginia Tech plays at a pretty normal tempo, so I think North Carolina will probably get their preferred pace in this game, and that was the case last year. North Carolina won the home game by 19 points. The year before that, they only won by 5 at Tech, though, so it's really going to come down to pace of play.
West Virginia and TCU on the board tonight. West Virginia were rolling along, but they lost a couple of games. They got back on track. They beat up on Texas on Saturday. And I see Mark Lawrence's database says that West Virginia are 1-9 against the spread the last 10 times they play a game after they played the Longhorns. But with that being stated, TCU, and I thought TCU were way overrated earlier in the year. I think, you know, they got in the top 15, maybe, you know, I think they were ranked 15, 16 or something like, if not higher. But conference play reality is starting to settle in a little bit, and they've got injuries. They got injuries at the point guard position as well, which is causing them a little bit of a problem right now. I don't love laying points on the road, but I think this is a decent spot for West Virginia here.
Yeah, TCU on the season commits very few turnovers, but like you said, if there's point guard injuries, you really have to worry about that against a pressure defense like West Virginia. And West Virginia holds a substantial defensive edge in this game. They give up only 40% shooting overall. TCU gives up over 46% shooting. So there's definitely some matchup advantages for West Virginia.
TCU have been an over machine, man. They score a lot of points. I think they're the sixth-ranked high-scoring team in college. 6-1 of the over in their last seven games. They score 87 points a game, but they give up 77 points a game. And, you know, West Virginia, when they play these guys, they generally score a lot, Steve. The over is 5-2 the last seven times these teams have played each other.
Yeah, of course, West Virginia likes more defensive style, and the over-under opened 160. It's down to 156 now, so we have seen a little bit of money on the under, but really it is a tough call because you know TCU likes to be fast, and West Virginia has shown they will pick up the pace against them in recent games.
Yeah, I figure like teams like West Virginia, when they're playing against a soft offensive team, they'll score, right? I mean, they're not an offensive juggernaut, but TCU don't put up much resistance. We got Michigan State and Illinois. I'm not going to bet this game. Kind of a tricky one. Illinois are 0-7 straight up, guys, in Big Ten play, but they're pretty competitive. They play well at home. They score a lot of points at home. So I'm looking at the total of this basketball game. Tricky game, this one.
Exactly. And Michigan State, one of the top three teams in the future odds right now, along with Duke and Villanova, to win the whole thing. So you're never going to get a lot of value with a team like that. And that's why this is a double-digit line. And yes, Illinois might just be 1-8 away from home this year, but they are, as you said, 9-2 straight up at home this season. They haven't won a conference game yet. I doubt they win this one, but it's a lot of points. I wouldn't be shocked if they kept it within single digits.
You can check out Steve over at coversexperts.com or prosportsinfo.com. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, there's Steve Merrill with us. We're going to take a quick break. Chris Meany's going to join us in studio.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome a Philadelphia Eagle fan, Chris Meany. I'm surprised you're not wearing a hoodie, the hat. You're not all decked out.
I just took off the tee. I had the Eagles t-shirt. I decided, I'm a little respectable. Come in here with a little collared shirt. Yeah, whatever. I wish I had a green dress shirt. I'd be rocking it.
Yeah, get a green Eagles golf shirt.
Yeah, I need to get
one. A collared Eagles shirt.
I slept in all my Eagles clothes last night. So.
You slept in your Eagles clothes?
Of course, man. Like, I got to just ride this out. Like, nobody saw this coming. Like, nobody saw this coming. When Wentz went down, even I didn't see this coming. I'm not going to sit here and gloat as an Eagles fan that said I saw this coming. Absolutely not.
No, that's the thing. Most Eagle fans were pretty, we're going to lose to Atlanta. We're going to lose to Minnesota probably.
Yeah. Well, you knew that. When I talked to you last week, I said I wanted the Vikings more than the Saints because of Keenum, and like there was more of a chance that Keenum could lay an egg, and we saw that yesterday. He threw the pick, and that was game changing. He threw the pick and the fumble they got after him, and that
but it
was
wasn't just
that
Keenum.
Was the turning point.
It was the entire football team of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, the defense was. I mean, across the board. I mean, they had never allowed a touchdown that long. They allowed two long touchdowns. The defense. It was the best third down defense in football. Yeah, they fell apart. They come after high. And
they were out coached.
They were out coached. I got to give Doug Peterson a lot of credit. You know,
they
this is
give
trends,
Frank Reich
too.
Credit.
Yeah, Reich as well.
Frank Reich, the play calling was brilliant.
The play calling is brilliant.
They basically was all just very simple, but they had them guessing. You know, they didn't know whether they were going to go left, whether they were going to go right. It was just every little thing that they did worked. Nick Foles was very, very composed and played a perfect game. Yeah. I mean, you'd see Nick Foles would recognize there was a blitz coming. And he would hang on to the ball to the last possible second and then get rid of it to allow – he allowed his receiver to get open and the blitz just to put him in the best possible place. They just did everything right. I mean, there were so many times the fine line. Even on one of the big plays before the end of the half, Griffin just missed him.
Just
misses the ball, full steps in, boom, and touchdown.
And he was patient on that play. You're right.
We
I
almost
give the play
because it was such a beating, Chris. I almost forget. It was 14-7 with a minute left.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have went to the locker room 14-7, completed a football game.
Right.
That touchdown to make it 21-7 was massive.
Massive. And it's – you're right. To me, I want to – we'll all give Nick Foles some credit, but I want to give the play calling some credit. And I give a lot of it to Peterson. Peterson put Foles in brilliant spots. And dating back to last week, too, in the second half of that game against Atlanta, it was – everything was his play-action pass. Everything was perfect. And yesterday, all 8 passes to Ertz, all of them caught. All 5 to Jeffrey, all of them caught. It was just play action.
Only
it was just great play call.
Nick Foles became only the second quarterback in NFL history to complete 75% of his passes in the first 2 playoff games.
Yeah.
Joe Montana being the other.
Yeah,
he's incredibly accurate, and I don't expect Foles to be any different against the New England Patriots.
Again, it's going to come down to obviously it's so tough to sit here and say that they're going to be able to beat Brady and the Patriots. I mean, what they did, but the difference yesterday with Jacksonville being up in the second half and Philadelphia just being up, they were aggressive and they stayed aggressive.
Yep.
They didn't just run the football. They came out in that second
half. They were playing at home.
They've allowed 69 points in their last 7 home games.
That's a big thing. It's huge. And
now
look,
huge.
9 straight one seeds have won at home, Chris.
Yeah.
9 straight.
It's huge. And indoor teams, they've lost the last 6 in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, 12
teams,
overall.
Yeah, when they go and play on the road. So it's huge. That was the difference. It's you go into Minnesota.
Yeah, but the crazy thing is it wasn't even cold. Like weather wasn't
cold,
even a
but
factor.
It's still a thing, the crowd. Like it's still a huge thing. I mean, Keenum again. Like,
yeah, it
he
goes
just looked
to
brutal, a little
like we said, guys, 9 straight. So basically 9 straight means 4 years plus 1. So it's like two championship games a year.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, so basically 4 years ago, one of the one seeds lost.
And it was Dallas.
No, it was Dallas.
It was the Cowboys.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really? So
yeah. And it was last year. 2016.
No. Last year they didn't.
Cowboys
got bounced right away last year.
Well, okay, so I thought it was Dallas. I have to go back and double check that.
Yeah.
But.
I'm talking about one seeds that played in the NFC
in
Conference
the NFC
championship
game.
That made, or the AFC Conference the championship game. One seeds in conference championship games. Now 9-0 straight up.
Yeah.
So this is a rematch, Super Bowl 39. And I admitted earlier, it pissed me off. I couldn't figure out the Roman numerals. I'm like 10 minus D, what, 1? And I'm good at Roman.
It always
like,
gets
I'm,
me, too.
I'm old, too. I've been around.
Yeah.
I know Roman numerals, but it's just one of those deals where I was getting a headache looking at it.
Yeah.
I was like, what Super Bowl is this? Super Bowl 10 V plus 2 minus 1? I'm like, oh, yeah, 39. And I had to double check. All right, so Super Bowl 39 was 24-21.
Yeah, it was. And it was.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the exact same damn score this year.
I could see that. Big part of the Eagles that year was their defense and Curse and Trotter, guys who could just get after the quarterback. And that's going to be the same thing. I mean, it's yesterday we saw the Eagles line dominate Minnesota's line. Both sides.
Blew it up in the trenches.
Both sides.
Yep.
Absolutely. So that's what it's going to be about, trying to get pressure off on Tom Brady and turnovers. They've averaged 2 turnovers, 2 takeaways
Question
a game
is
this
too,
year.
I imagine Gronk will play.
Yeah, Gronk should play. He's got 2 weeks to recover. And I saw a stat from an Eagles beat writer this morning that they're so good against tight ends. You just throw that out the window. Like, it's arguably the best tight end of all time. It's Gronk.
Well, you know what you should do, though, is just hit him in the head.
I mean, we saw Jacksonville do that, and we joked about Jacksonville. I mean,
well,
I said before, like, they're a lot like Seattle. They don't know any better, and they're tough, and they're physical, and they're not afraid. We saw them smack Brady a few
times,
too.
As I tweeted out yesterday, you know, the Buffalo Bills,
you
guys know we're going to – well, who's still playing?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can let Gronk run all over you. And it wasn't deliberate. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to cheap shot. People are like, oh, they cheap shot it. The play happened fast.
It very
Gronkowski's a big dude, man. All right? Gronk, like, Buddy comes flying in. Yeah. Did he try to avoid it? No.
Yeah. And
but it is what it is. Did Gronk try to avoid it when he powerbombed and dove on top of Trey White's spine? No, he didn't.
Right.
Yeah, I hope you missed the Super Bowl, Gronk. I legitimately do. I hope you miss the Super Bowl, or even better, you come back in the Super Bowl and you get hurt again.
Gets popped again.
You get hurt again.
Yeah, I mean, football is a tough physical sport, and I
hate to say it, but it's worth it for the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everybody on Jacksonville's side thought that too. I mean, it's tough to sit here and say those things, and you know, when you're talking about people's lives and stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, Richard Sherman had a great tweet. Like, what do you want Church to do? What do you want him to do?
Go for his knees? And
do you want him to go for his knees? And you complain about that. You go for the head. You complain about that. It's too fast of a play in the sport where you can actually just take out his ribs and crack his ribs,
and I can't
believe, let him catch the football and go down the field.
I can't believe I'm going to use Chris Pronger here because I used to rip Pronger all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, Pronger was on a warpath near the end of his career. He was just killing people all the time.
He was crushing everybody into the
And there was one, someone in the playoffs. He got his elbow up.
Zetterberg, I think.
Yeah, the Zetterberg. And Pronger said, and everyone was like rolled their eyes when he said it. He goes, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I'm on skates. He's like 6'8".
Yeah, exactly. He's huge. He towers over everybody.
So he puts his arm up. That happens to be right in people's faces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Church is a small guy. Church comes in.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. He's going to make contact with the head.
I know.
Unless he's going to try to tackle Grant at the ankle. And how the hell's that going to work?
I know. And Church came in at a side view. If you watch it again in slow-mo, he came in from the side. And Gronk is like catching and he's leaning down.
And Gronk kind of started coming down
so
into it.
So he's leaning down. And so it's just
dirty.
A tough football play.
It was
play.
Just a football
it's
play.
It's just a really tough
dirty.
Football play. Yeah.
You know. If the Jags should have hit anyone, they should have hit the ref.
Man, Jacksonville just gave that away, though. Your boy Warren Sharp had some fantastic stats on just every play in the second half. The first down from shotgun and a run, and they all were negative. And then they throw. It's just if
the predictability factor was
too predictable. And that was part of his – when he had wrote that book, that was part of what he's talked about Jacksonville. I questioned this team when they play in the second half with a lead. And they play too conservative, and that's exactly it.
And you know what the problem is, though? When you're playing the Patriots, you can't treat it like a normal game. You can't say, all right, we're up 20-10, there's 8 minutes left, let's just run the ball here. You need to be like, you got to think like it's 10-10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're not going to let up. You always need to think, we need one more. You always got to stay, get two scores
that's
ahead.
That's what I mean about
10,
being
10,
aggressive.
You
know? That was.
And then they took a knee with 55 seconds left at the end of the first half. It's ridiculous.
And then
Bortles is playing good football.
And I know, playing great football.
Now you push it.
The game
if
of his
you
life.
Play not to lose, you're going to lose. We got to take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Meany.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. You can check out Chris Meany daily, Monday to Friday from 4 to 6 on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Jake Seeley and Joe Pisapia. We've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left here. Chris, let's jump in. NHL hockey tonight. Colorado Avalanche have won 9 straight games, but they're plus 150 underdogs. I've got to take them.
The way that they're playing right now with Jonathan Bernier has been unbelievable as well. He's like the number 2 fantasy hockey goalie in the NHL, Bernier. And now he's going to go back into Toronto with a chip on his
Good
shoulder, beat his former team. No Morgan Riley tonight. I know they beat the Sens, but the Sens are a joke. I mean, they blew that 3-1 lead in the third period. I would continue to ride Colorado.
Nate McKinnon, hottest player in the National Hockey League
I think he should be getting MVP conversation. He should be in the conversation for MVP. What Lightning player are you going to choose from? I mean, Kucherov, Stamkos, and Hedman is out now. I mean, I start betting against the Lightning for people. They've lost 3 in a row without Hedman now. And Vasilevsky, look at this team. They already have more points and more goals than they had last year. Nate McKinnon is a shout-out to him from the East Coast.
He scored goals in 5 straight games.
That line
it's
has, like, 54 points over this streak. It's one of the hottest lines with him and Mikko Rantanen and Landeskog. Yeah
he's got 8 goals over the last 9 games. For the record, too, the Colorado Avalanche, their franchise record, I think, is 12 wins in a row. And, you know, those were those cup teams and stuff, the dominant team. So I'm taking a look at them tonight. But NBA tonight, from a DFS perspective, as always, you know, you can't put your lineups together until 6:30, 6:45, 10 to 7, et cetera. So injuries tonight. Jimmy Butler's the one I don't know about.
He's out.
So it's official?
He's official. He's out. He's ruled out. So
Wiggins becomes...
Yeah, I mean, Wiggins
becomes... We saw the usage goes up.
21 shots the other night against the Raptors. Just volume. I mean, for Thibodeau, it's those four or five guys.
And the game should be a
higher
scoring game, too. Clippers have been playing high scoring games.
Absolutely,
right? It's bombs
yeah.
away right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, for sure. And Wallace on the other side. Tyrone Wallace has been getting a lot of playing time. Yeah,
Greek Wiggins, Freak out.
Freak is out. Middleton and Bledsoe. Bledsoe's got the revenge game, like
yeah.
in Phoenix. But both of those guys, I think they combined for almost 40 shots, Gabe, when there was no Giannis. But Middleton is the guy who's
they're not cheap though. Huh?
They're not. They're
like over 8,000.
Yeah,
81.
They're very expensive, but that's the way I would go. And Middleton is the guy I like the most. He's getting the rebounds. The ball was in his hand and double digit assists the other night too.
You know, there was a game, Chris. I was going to bet on this game tonight. Your Dallas Mavericks. You beat the Wizards 113-99 in November. It was early this year, but they beat them down.
Swept them last year.
Yeah, and it was sort of a revenge spot for the Wizards. But I'll tell you what, just reading about the Wizards, never have I seen a team so openly honest about their dysfunctionalness.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this. They said, yeah, we had a team meeting, but it actually got worse. They actually said this publicly.
Wow.
John Wall said, you know, he's the leader. Yeah. Wall goes, yeah, we had a team meeting. And he goes, unfortunately, ended up making things worse.
Wow.
And he said, guys just couldn't accept it. And he goes, you got to learn to take criticism. And he goes, it got worse. And then Bradley Beal, in a separate interview, goes, the meeting was pointless. It was actually counterintuitive. We didn't accomplish what we wanted out of it.
You wonder if he's
And some guys have too thin skin on this team. So basically, I guess Wall and Beal started laying into everyone. And then people... went back at them. They didn't take it very well. And they're admitting this. Like, read about this after
yeah,
later. You're
yeah,
going to read
will.
The dynamic
yeah, I
here.
Will. Yeah.
So, like, tonight I'm coming in here. I'm like, man, you guys aren't even getting along. You're talking about a meeting. I've never seen a team do that. Normally they say, no, team meeting stays private. We're not talking. And they both say, oh, yeah, it made it worse. And then Wall makes it worse by saying some guys, because now we're all going to wonder
who. So now you're wondering who guys.
Is it Beal that told him to F off?
That's what I mean. Like, I wonder if it's Beal and Wall going head-to-head at each other, because if you look at that team, they're not a deep team, right? They're just like a couple guys. Like, their rotations are all the same. Like, their starters play a lot of minutes. You wonder if it's Beal. And to me, like, Beal seems like that type of guy who wouldn't take the criticism. Now, I'd have to go back and look at that. Like, maybe that's unfair for me to say, but Wall is the leader on that
team.
I don't
know why they're so dysfunctional, this team, all the time.
You know what? I go to trends, and I know you love trends. Dallas has won 16 of the last 18 games against Washington. They swept them last year.
I know.
This game is in Dallas. Washington hardly got past the Pistons the other night.
Yeah, I know. Washington 12-6 against the spread last 18 times. They're playing the Mavericks with revenge, but
it's really tough to put any faith in Dallas. I mean, they're not a really good basketball team.
What about the total tonight in this basketball game? Blazers 18-36 from three the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Mavericks having a hard time defending the three ball.
Mavericks can't. They can't defend the three, and they can't. This is not an awful spot for them because, like, Wall doesn't take a lot of threes, and they don't have, like, a huge big man.
Yeah,
but Dallas
yeah.
really struggles against teams who can hit the three and teams who can get them down low. I mean, we saw Cousins have, like, 30 rebounds against them earlier in the year, basically. So, I'd stay away from Washington. I mean, I'm a little discouraged with everything you just said about the team meeting.
Check that out, guys, as far as the Washington Wizards are concerned. We're going to come back with our plays of the day that I've changed about six times already today.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
What up, everybody? I am Gabriel Morenci. It's time for my best bets of the day, although I use the term best bets extremely loosely this evening. Our confidence level is that of a 42-year-old virgin. Chicago Bulls getting 6.5 points against the Pelicans. I'm going to buy it a half point. Let's get it up to 7. Bulls up, and you know, they're making money again. They're 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 basketball games. I really don't understand the number of this game. Rockets coming off a big win against the Warriors. I think people are overreacting to this a little bit. It's kind of a flat letdown spot. And I'll tell you what, the Miami Heat are 7-2 against the spread, their last nine on the road when getting points. Remember last week we told you the best bet in the NBA this year, 53% blindly, road dogs. Give me the Miami Heat getting double-digit points. Heat and Rockets over 213. I think the total's too low. T-Wolves and Clippers, total's a little high. It's 220, 220 and a half. Let's go over the number. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Jimmy Butler's going to be out again, but it doesn't matter. It'll still be a track meet. College basketball, North Carolina. I think the Tar Heels are in a nice spot tonight here against the Hokies. Heels playing better basketball as of late. West Virginia and TCU. You know, I've wavered on this game, but ultimately, give me West Virginia to get it done on the road. TCU's point guard is out, and let's go West Virginia, TCU, over 156. The Frogs don't play any defense. Quickly on the way out here, NHL hockey. Avs have won nine straight games, guys. Give me the Avs, plus 950, plus 150. And Wild Flames parlay, plus 109. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.